Good morning. Welcome to our program, The Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen this Sunday morning. We will have this program every Sunday morning, and we hope that you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of the services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at the subject of the kingdom of God, and we are beginning the last part of our study by examining the teaching of the book of Revelation. This morning we will examine Revelation chapter 1. As we look at this chapter, let us read the first three verses of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. We need to first of all see that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to his servants to show things that must shortly come to pass. Now keep that in mind, must shortly take place. And he signified it, that means that he signified it by signs, which we will study in this book, and to his angel to give it to his servant John. John is the author of the book of Revelation. This is the Apostle John, same one that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. He bore witness to the word of God. That means that he gave testimony of the things which he saw. He saw many things in this book, and we will discuss those things as we go through the book. But we need to keep verse 3 in mind as we study this book. Blessed is he who reads, number 1, hears what he reads, 2, of the prophecy, 3, and keep those things that are written in it. And lastly, for the time is near. If one is to be blessed, to keep, and to hear the words of the book of prophecy, then it means we must be able to understand it. If we can understand it, then we are to keep the teaching that it gives us. And it again emphasizes that the time is near. That means it is short. It means that it is close. Now that is very important, because much of what people teach about Revelation is futuristic. They believe that 95% of the book is yet to take place. This is a false conclusion. 95% of the book has already taken place long ago, and we will show that as we go through the text. And so we need to know that this is a revelation of Christ given to John, who wrote it and gave it to us through the Holy Spirit. And it is a book of prophecy, and those will be blessed who hear it, read it, and keep the teachings of it, and that the time is near. You notice next that the seven churches of Asia are mentioned in verse number 4. And then it begins to use some of the symbols, the seven spirits who are before his throne in verse 4. And in verse 5, it talks about the faithful witness. The faithful witness is from Jesus Christ, firstborn from the dead, ruler over the kings of the earth, to those who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's talking about the sacrifice of Christ. And so he is this faithful witness. And he has been made and has made us kings and priests to God. This can also be substantiated by the teaching of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, and 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. We also notice in verse 7 that he is coming and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. At the second coming of Christ, it's not going to be a mystery. It's not going to be something that just a few people see, like just the raptured saints. It's going to be something that every eye, that means all men, that means all of creation, are going to witness the second coming of Christ. In verse number 8, we're told that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and ending. and he who was and is to come, the Almighty. This again is signifying the duty and, excuse me, the deity of Christ Jesus. Verse 9 is a key verse. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom, the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice, the Apostle John said he was on the isle of Patmos for because of the word of his testimony for the word of God. He had been exiled there by Domitian because of his preaching and teaching concerning Christ. But notice in verse 9, he says he is their brother in the kingdom. What kingdom is that, dear listener? It's the kingdom that Jesus promised to build. It's the kingdom that came about on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it says in verse 9, John, who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that he was a member of that kingdom in the first century while he was on the Isle of Patmos. What does that mean, dear listener? That means the kingdom is now in existence. Therefore, the premillennial conclusion in theory, that the kingdom is yet a futuristic event that's going to be done at the second coming of Christ when he sets up the thousand-year reign rule on the earth, is not known to John, because John is already in that kingdom. That kingdom already exists. And so, even from the onset of this book, the premillennial theory is giving great damage because the kingdom is already here. Therefore, that must be rejected, that the kingdom is yet to come, as a teaching of men and not a teaching of God. Beginning in verse number 10, it tells us that he is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. And in verse 11, he heard a trumpet. And again, that is sounding an announcement. Something's going to be said that John needs to pay attention to. In verse 11, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Jesus says, what you see, you write it in a book, and you send it to the seven churches that are in Asia, and these seven are listed that we just read. These are the churches that this book is addressed to. And then in verse number 12, he turned to see the voice that spoke with him, and when he turned, he saw seven golden lampstands in verse 12. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, he sees one like the Son of Man. And beginning in verse 13, through verse number 17, it describes what he saw. He saw one that had a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. He had white hair as wool, white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace. He had his voice as a sound of many waters, in verse 15. Out of his right hand of seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. That description is depicting, in a descriptive way, the Son of God. These terms are used because we understand them. John is trying to give a physical meaning to the things that he saw. He saw this person. And we can read other passages, like in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel and Daniel chapter 10, of this same type of terminology. This terminology, white like wool, white as snow, purity, innocence. His eyes a flame of fire, penetrating. His feet like fine brass, showing authority and dominion. His voice is the sound of many waters, showing authority and the power that we need to listen to what he says. And then the sword, which we know from Hebrews 4 and verse 12, is the word of God that comes out of his mouth. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. Reminds us of the transfiguration in Acts 17, verse 1 through 5. And when he saw that, John was afraid. But a hand rested on him, laid on his right hand, and said, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." Again, this is showing the significance that this message is coming from the Lord. Verse 18 really sums it up. He has the keys to Hades and death. Who's the only one that has those credentials? Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. He wasn't in the empty tomb in Matthew 28. He was resurrected from the dead, John chapter 19. He also came out of the Hadean realm. His body didn't decay. It didn't see corruption. And that's a fulfillment of Psalms chapter 16, 8 through 10. And since he overcame the grave, the physical death, and he overcame the Hadean realm, the place of disembodied spirits, and so since he was victorious over both, he has the keys that open both to us. That's why we have hope. And so these verses clearly signify that this message is one of Christ. It's one of deity, and it's given to John. And then in verse 19, he's given his instruction. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things that will take place after this. He's told to write these things down. What he sees and what he's about to experience. Write them down and keep track of them. And then verse 20, we're given an explanation of what we saw earlier. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. And the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And so the seven stars are the angels and the messengers that are sent to the seven lampstands. And those lampstands represent the seven churches that were listed in chapter 1 and verse number 11. The seven churches of Asia. And so, this letter is being addressed, first and foremost, to the seven churches of Asia. What does that mean, dear listener? That means, first and foremost, that any understanding and any conclusions drawn from this book must have a direct application and meaning to those seven churches. If it does not, then it is the wrong conclusion. This letter was being written to people who were greatly being persecuted in the time of the first century by the Roman government. They were being put to death for their faith. Their land was being taken away. Their occupations were being taken away. Their families were being killed before them. They would be used as sports to entertain the Romans, and their bodies would be used as torches to light the way to the king's palace. Brethren, these were terrible times. This was a time that the church in the first century was under great persecution. And so this letter is written to those seven churches who were struggling in the persecution and had some problem, and God is giving the instruction of what they need to do. Now next week we'll begin examining the seven churches and the letters sent to each that are contained in chapters 2 and chapter 3. I would encourage you to look over chapter 2 and chapter 3 as we begin looking at the seven churches. Tune in again next Lord's Day. Thank you. Have a good day.